Welcome to episode number 216.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips on where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Hey, are you thinking about buying an RV? Are you? Well, hold up until you listen to this episode. Don't do it until you follow our advice. What advice is that? It's simple. Try before you buy. Unless you're an experienced RVer and you know from experience just what you want, RV newbies should try out an RV for a couple of days to make sure it fits their needs and their lifestyle. And in our interview of the week coming up in a few minutes, we are going to introduce you to Outdoorsy, a company that specializes in helping people find RVs to rent. Meantime, we're mighty glad that you've joined us. Thanks for putting us in your ears this week. We've got a lot to talk about besides our interview about renting an RV. We've got a lot of RV news. And one of the stories I want you to be sure to listen to is one about the dangers of taking selfies in daredevil locations. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Another tragedy this past week that we want to illustrates just how dangerous it can be to try and get those daredevil photos. We've got a lot of RV tips. We've got some RV questions and answers. And of course, always a great off the beaten path report from our friends, the Burkitts. And their report this week is especially interesting for all of those of you who love Mexican chips and salsa. Oh yeah. Well, you'll appreciate their historic report coming up a little later on in the program. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear. Happy Halloween.
Well, hello, Michael.
It's Halloween time.
It is. I can't believe.
Yeah.
I'm always saying I can't believe. Time just flies so quickly.
It is. This is episode being released October 31st, 2018. And the leaves are pretty much dropping. They'll be all gone, I think, in about a week or so up in the part of Michigan where we're at right now. It was beautiful at the dog park this morning, wasn't it?
Very pleasant.
Somebody posted a nice photo of Bo on one of the Facebook groups that we monitor for our dog park friends. And Bo's got his head in a hole, and he's watching another dog the hole is so deep that these dogs have dug at the dog park. You can only see the little tail end of this other dog. And Bo's like saying, well, what's going on down there?
I think Bo is jealous because we don't allow Bo to dig holes. He knows he can't dig them because you're not supposed to do that at the dog park, nor in the yard at home.
Nope.
And he was just watching the other dog like, yeah, how come he gets to do it?
He was watching. He wasn't really participating.
No, he wasn't because he knows he's not supposed to.
He was a good boy. Hey, a programming note. Our friends Bob and John from RVing in New England will have Jennifer and me as their special guests tonight, October 31st. We're not going trick-or-treating. We're going on their Facebook page. We're going to talk about boondocking. And if you haven't caught that, they do a live report on Facebook on their RVing in New England page on Facebook. You just go to Facebook and look that up. We'll be on, I think it's 7 o'clock. And that's live, and that is always fun. So we'll be there. And it's going to be a busy week for us. We're off to Florida.
Yeah, we're going to Walt Disney World with Pogo's Happy Camper Gathering.
Yep. Pogo's our friend from Mississippi, and he puts on an annual, what is it called, barbecue on the bayou gathering every February. And I think he's up to like close to, 30, 40 people every February. And this is one that he and his wife Vicky are big fans of Disney. And so they announced this, when was that, back early in the winter?
Oh, I think it's about a year ago. They mentioned it and we said, sure, we'd love to go.
So a bunch of us, I think there's 50 of us that are going to be at Fort Wilderness in Walt Disney World, and we're heading off in a day or so, and we can't wait to get there. I think it'll be fun. We've never visited without kids or grandkids.
It's going to be very strange, but I think it's going to be fun.
Yep, yep.
Now we don't have to be on anybody else's schedule.
Yeah, and that will be pretty nice. Well, you're a big sucker for those.
I like parades and fireworks.
And fireworks every time.
Yeah, I love fireworks.
Yep. You know,
but I've been spoiled after I saw fireworks in Detroit with music.
On the river, the separating Canada, joint celebration of Canada and the 4th of July. It was, pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
But lots of places have great fireworks. Mm-hmm. But Disney's are always fun. They have that floatable, boatable parade. You know, all those little weird things on the water. That's fun. So
I'm looking forward to all that.
So, but we're going to be without kids. So I don't know.
We're going to be without our fur kid.
Yeah, no, and I haven't taken the fur kid, so that's going to be kind of a strange thing. And I'm looking forward to it. I think we'll have a good time. So that's where I'm. The dilemma of not taking Bo, though, our fur kid, that's consumed us the last couple of days.
Yeah, I didn't. I went online and read about where we were going to be boarding him, and then I was uncomfortable with it.
Why?
I thought the spaces were too small, and he's our kid.
Yeah, it's a 4x4 cage.
Well,
it turned out.
Well, they were different.
But what did you say?
For $109 a night, he could have a space with his own flat screen television.
Oh, that's good. Then he wouldn't miss any of his favorite TV programs. You're kidding.
No.
$109 a night for a dog with his own flat screen TV. This is at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
I even looked at that and saw the way it was laid out and everything.
$109.
And if we were in a campsite that was dog friendly, then I would take Bo.
Well, then you couldn't. What would you do then about, going and wandering around the Magic Kingdom and wandering around Epcot?
I guess what I feel badly about is that we're only going to be there 3 nights and then we're going to Florida for a little bit. And so Bo is going to miss out on being with us.
Well, we're still debating it because, but I think after we made reservations at this kennel there, and after we looked at it, it's 4x4, and even so, that's $45 a day.
Well, I just two outdoor area, indoor area, and
yeah,
I don't know. I just I guess because I'm sure Disney is excellent, but other places we've kind of been burned.
Yeah,
with how they care for the animal, because it's a business.
So we're still not 100% decided
that it's their passion.
Whether we're going to leave him with our daughter, where he's loved and cared for and has a great time, or whether we drive him all the way down to Florida, we got to move fairly quick. It's going to be not a leisurely, not keeping to our 3:30 rule to get there, but
3:30 a.m.
Yeah, we probably will quit the first day on the road about 3:30 a.m. and that'll be kind of fun to see what. What happens as we head out there? I'm getting a lot of requests from people that want to know what we're doing in terms of gatherings for next year, and I can only say I only know of one for sure,
and that's not an official gathering.
It's an unofficial. None of our gatherings are always very casual,
mm-hmm.
and it's about they're for people who can entertain themselves. But we do have, usually some activities and stuff that we suggest, as we do in this one. This one, though, is not for everybody. For all of you cold weather wimps out there and you snowbirds, that you won't be interested in this. But for those of you who are looking for adventure, we are going to do it's an annual trip for Jennifer and me. This will be year 5 or 6.
I don't know, but we've been going up there for years.
Up to Tequamanon Falls State Park in Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
Isn't how all this is how all these gatherings started?
Yep.
You and I.
You and I just would go
someplace.
Went up
there and we'd say, anybody wants to come join us.
Yep. And we're kind of reverting back to that for this one. It's January 11th through the 13th. And the deal is you need to make your own reservations. You just call up the Michigan DNR at Tequamanon Falls State Park and you book in the campground. The campground happens to be the Lower Falls Hemlock Campground, but that's the only one that's open. And I will put a note in the show notes, a link to you if you want to try it. And we have big campfires. We do snowshoeing. The DNR provides snowshoes. We have
right.
a really fun
and
time.
And the campfire, we just kind of pass
everybody
the hat and
buy
anybody
a lot
wants
of wood.
To
yep.
either bring some wood or
well, you
chip
can't
in
bring
to buy
wood.
The wood.
Can't bring wood.
Oh, can't bring wood.
You can't bring wood pretty much anywhere in the country because they want you don't want to spread disease.
I thought maybe if you were a Michigander.
No, not even then. Got to buy their wood. Don't give any ideas.
Thank you for correcting me.
Yep. You just, but you can buy wood up at, it's a big pile of right not far from the park. We all just chip in for that. And, that'll be fun. So if you want to go, go to the show notes page for this episode. It's roadtrekking.com/216. And you can find any of our episodes. You just need to know the episode number, and it's always roadtrekking.com/, and then followed by whatever episode number. This one is 216, so you can find that. But that's fun. You know, that's not that far off.
No, it really isn't, but we want everybody to let us know that they're coming just simply because we've made reservations at a couple of restaurants.
Yeah, and also, we always set up an informal Facebook group for those going to the gathering, just for those at the gathering, not for everybody else. So you got to be confirmed to go to the gathering, and then you can join the group. And we'll put a link to that as well. So if you do make a reservation with the DNR and you are coming, go to that link then and request to join. We'll let you join, and then you can follow everybody's discussion, and we'll have a kind of a rough head count because we got to buy enough firewood, and then we have reservations at a couple of really fun restaurants. So,
and also everybody can talk to each other if they want to meet someplace along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Driving north, they can do that if they want to. Let's have lunch here, or you know, something that they want to do together.
Now I know there's people listening to this right now and saying, I'd like to try that. And they're a little apprehensive about it, and it's really not much different than camping in the summertime.
It's not. And they have the vault toilets up there.
Yep, they're.
And then
beauty of a vault trailer in the wintertime is there's no odor.
Well, I wouldn't go so far to say that. There's no flies.
Yeah.
I think that's about the only thing you can say.
Yeah, that's true. Let's say it for
sure. I'm just hoping that, my fingers crossed, that we have snow.
Well, there's always snow. It's usually 2.5 feet of snow.
But we're a little bit early.
We're one weekend earlier.
We've always done this the third week, but we can't do it the third week because we're going to be in Tampa.
Yeah, at the big
RV
show
there. And we promised Bo that he could go up in the snow.
So, try it. It's fun. You know, your RV should be winterized. In other words, you have antifreeze. We talked about that in last week's episode, 215. But, you know, you should have pink antifreeze to your RV. And then you just use it normally. You run your heater. Sometimes we bring a little portable ceramic heater.
You do have electricity.
Yeah, there's electricity. It's not boondocking, so you have always electricity. So the inside is always warm. You know, you got your heater on and you can run that little ceramic heater. You bring enough clothes to go play outside because just like kids, we play outside and we have big campfires and it's always warm around the campfire. And then when you can use your toilet in your RV, you just flush with antifreeze instead of water. It's that simple. And give it a try. We'd love to meet some new people. It doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have. Just come. All of our gatherings are for every kind of RV out there. We have trailers. We have Class Cs. We have fifth wheels. We've had people sleeping out of the back of cars. So
my favorite year was when someone made an igloo.
Oh, yeah. We made two igloos, actually. And they were pretty warm inside. So anyway, that's our plans. And we do have a whole bunch of other gatherings that we will be attending that are being set up now by Road Trekking, Road Trek Motorhomes, rather. They're kind of the Erwin-Heimer group is doing the sponsorship of those formal gatherings, although they're still pretty casual and that we have fun. And I know they're talking about some really great locations, and we should have a list of that somewhat soon. Okay, hey, this part of the program is brought to you by our friends at Allstays Pro, which is the best tool we have found for RVers who are looking for places to stay. Now, people always are asking Jennifer and me how we find these awesome places that we stay at, and the answer is Allstays Pro. If you have ever used the Allstays app on your phone, your smartphone, you know what a great resource Allstays is for RVers who are looking for places to stay. But Allstays Pro is the browser-based version of that, and it takes it to a whole new level. Because it's browser-based, meaning you access it normally through your tablet or your laptop, you can do it through your smartphone, but normally through your laptop where you have full-size maps and much more detail than you get on a smartphone. It's updated constantly. Now, the apps are only updated a few times a year because they got to go through all that approval with Google or Apple or whatever. But Allstays Pro has more resources, more campgrounds, more boondocking spots, and more important RV information like where you can boondock, what Walmarts allow overnights, the nearest RV dealers, where you can find the closest RV dump site. All that is really accessible through Allstays Pro. To use Allstays Pro requires a subscription. It costs $20.95, $21 a year. But because you listen to this podcast, there is a very nice little 10% discount that you can get. But you have to go to a special website. Go to roadtrekking.com/allstays10. Again, that's roadtrekking.com/allstays10.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Another sad story about people slipping and falling to their deaths at a national park. This time it happened at Yosemite National Park. They were a couple who had a travel blog, Citizens of India, who were living in the U.S. Their blog has been taken down, but previous posts had a lot of photos of them in precarious places. And the woman wrote that they were fans of daredevilry, attempts of standing at the edge of cliffs and skyscrapers. But did you know that wind gusts can be fatal? Ironically, she then said, is our life just worth one photo? The National Park Service is investigating how the pair fell. Their bodies were discovered Thursday, about 800 feet below Taft Point. Taft Point is the same place we told you about in last week's newsletter, where a photographer took a stunning picture of a proposal. Again, just how the couple died has not been determined, but the tragedy is a good reminder that many of the most breathtaking locations in our parks do not have safety rails. There is an inherent risk in getting too close to the edge. While we do not know yet if this couple had a camera, let's use this sad story as a reminder to be careful, because no photograph is worth dying over.
Here's a story that has the industry moderately, shall I say, interested. RV dealer shipments have dropped about 29% for the month of September. That's between 2017 and 2018. Folks in Indiana released this study. That's, of course, the RV capital of the world, where they make all the RVs. And the story quoted an industry spokesman who attributed the decline to a number of things, like RV manufacturers are increasing their capacity so dealers don't have to order far ahead. And, of course, the controversy over tariffs. The drop is being carefully watched. How about if I put it that way? But most of the people in the industry say they're not worried. Attendance at fall RV shows, for example, like the recent one we attended in California, is still setting records. So much interest in RV sales. And also, those are shipments to dealers. Retail sales are way up, suggesting maybe that the wholesale drop was simply a manufacturing issue.
Camping in Nebraska State Park next year will be a little more expensive after the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission approved a staff recommendation last week to raise camping fees. The fee increase, which varies based on the type of camping spot, is expected to bring in $2 million in revenue. The new money will be used to maintain the campgrounds and address a maintenance backlog. A full-service RV spot will now cost $35 a night most of the time, with a primitive tent-only location costing $10 a night.
I interviewed a guy this week who says that the national average now for a night in any kind of a campground is about $40. That's getting up there.
It is.
That's why we like boondocking so much. We'll have that on the next week's show, episode 217 next week. But, you know, that's a lot of money.
Fixed income, any kind of income.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
And it shows, by the way, we don't want to single out Nebraska. I think we got another story about another state park a little bit later. But the thing with Nebraska, it's like the national parks. There is this backlog of maintenance. And state parks across the country have all these different ways of paying their share for their budgets. Some have to generate all their own income. Some get a cut from the state general treasury. So state parks, as well as national parks, are all scrambling to try and handle all the demands that are caused by this glut of new RVers, with so many new RVers now involved. So anyway, interesting story. I did come across a fun story in Newsweek last week about a couple from Long Island, New York, both in their 30s, who are deciding to sell their home and move into an RV and travel the country for a while. We're hearing a lot of stories like that. And in person, we're kind of regularly running into couples out there in campgrounds and out boondocking. Sometimes, oftentimes, single people who are have decided to hit the road and live a nomadic life. Much of it is possible because of technology in which you can literally work from the road. It's kind of what we do. Dropping out, getting out of the rat race, seeing the country, enjoying the beauty of God's creation out there. A lot of people doing that. And I'll put a link to this story. I like this story in this couple. They get into, what I like about it is they get into their, they really thought this through, how much they think it's going to cost them to live on the road in an RV. And we get a little tour of their new home on wheels. And if any of you are kind of considering such a move, you'll find that that link will be on the show notes at roadtrekking.com/216.
Here's another story on funding for state parks. Last year, a microbrewery in Tennessee came out with the Tennessee State Park Blonde Ale, pledging to donate a small portion of the profits to Tennessee State Parks Conservancy. 1 year later, the effort raised $7,000. A story out last week quoted a park official as saying, "Tennessee is one of seven states in the country that does not charge an entrance fee to its state parks, in part because of such partnerships."
You know what I like about that story? Gives me another excuse to drink a beer. Blonde Ale? I'm going to pick some up. We're going through Tennessee in a day or so.
I don't think it's on your diet.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, we have an we don't ever update that here. We do it on our Ask Us Anything show that we do on YouTube every Sunday night at 7 p.m. But since we did an episode here back maybe 7-8 episodes ago, about is RVing making you unhealthy? And I shared personally how I had gained a bunch of unwanted pounds. Are any pounds? Well, some pounds I suppose are wanted, but unwanted pounds. And I attributed partially to being on the road all the time and eating out more than we should, or eating more than we should at those great RV potlucks that everybody has. So I went on a very healthy living program. And let's see, Sunday night, it was down 23 pounds since I started. And this morning, I'm down 24 pounds. So 24 pounds since September 4th. So,
but who's counting?
Who's counting? I'm counting every single morning. But that's basically eating, no sugar and very low carbs. And it seems to be working pretty good. Hey, this part of our podcast is brought to you by OvernightRVParking.com. Be sure to listen to next week's program because we're going to interview Jim O'Brien from Overnight Parking. This is a great service. You just heard us talk about how expensive it is in some of these parks. Jim says in the interview I did with him that it costs about $40 a night now at most campgrounds. That's kind of the national average. And so what a lot of RVers do is they try and find out where they can just park, because many times we're just on our way. Maybe we're going to a big campground. We got reservations there, but we're traveling through and we need a place to overnight. And so Jim has a great website, Overnight RV Parking, you can avoid parking where it's illegal. And that means you're not going to be awakened by the police and evicted or ticketed or towed in the middle of the night. You can park overnight in a free location. There are so many of them. Instead of having to go to a commercial campground, if you just do this a couple of times, you'll save more than the cost of your subscription to Jim's service. But we can do you better. Normally, it's $24.95 and you get a 12-month subscription. But as a listener of this podcast, you can get that extended to 15 months at the same rate. So if you go to our special address, that's the only way you'll get it. You got to go to roadtrekking.com/overnight. roadtrekking.com/overnight.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Have any of you women campers ever struggled with applying makeup because of the lack of good lighting in your RV? This week's tip comes from a reader named Deborah, who wrote in to share her solution. Deborah camps in a Road Trek 190 Popular. She says she enjoys it very much, but has found it very challenging to find good lighting to apply makeup. Her solution? The Ricky Cutie Mirror by Lime Life. Deborah wrote that she was not a salesperson for the company and does not order their makeup, but loves this mirror. The size is just right for the RV lifestyle. Deborah writes, and the mirror provides plenty of light. Well, Deborah's email raised my curiosity, so I went online to learn more about the Ricky Cutie mirror. It's about the size of a cell phone, costs about $55, and has three different light levels. The mirrors appear to be very popular with many YouTubers who do makeup tutorials, and many have filmed themselves unboxing this mirror. The mirror comes with a built-in stand and a retractable finger ring, so you can wear the mirror on your finger as you apply your makeup. It also comes with a carrying sleeve and micro USB cable, as it's rechargeable. It weighs 11.7 ounces and could easily fit into a purse. It operates on one lithium ion battery and appears to have very powerful lighting. Its size makes it easy to carry in all sorts of settings. I must say, I too have found lighting to be a challenge when camping. So some time ago, we bought a lighted vanity mirror with magnification that we attached to the wall above the sink in our bathroom. I do not recall, you know, what brand I'm using, but it works pretty well.
Didn't we buy that at Bed Bath & Beyond? Yeah, they got a whole bunch of them there.
Yep. Yeah, lots of them. But after reading Deborah's email and learning more about this product, you know, it's caught my attention. I like the idea of a mirror that is so lightweight, powerful, and mobile. And with so many online recommendations from people who do makeup tutorials, it must work very well. So thank you very much, Deborah, for sharing your tip. I really appreciate it, and share it in hopes of helping others. I will include links to the mirror in the show notes.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. We got our Rad Power Bikes early this year and have had a ball with them. We bought the city bike model, and I got the guy's version, you know, with that center bar that you swing your leg over. Jennifer got what we used to call it a girl's bike, because it doesn't have that center bar. You just sort of step through. But now everybody, men and women, are using that because it's so easy to get on and off of it. Rad Power Bikes is a terrific high-quality e-bike. It is a consumer direct brand, and that means buyers get a premium electric bike, but don't have to pay that huge markup caused by dealers and third-party retailers. In fact, Rad Power Bikes are priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because that dealer-retailer markup is cut out. They have a number of different bike models, and all of them have this ability to take you anywhere you need to go, reaching 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They have the most powerful motor an e-bike can have while maintaining a street legal status. That means no licenses required. You can ride it anywhere. You can ride a bicycle. You got the choice to ride pedal free with throttle or use any one of five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or combining pedaling and the little bit of assist. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And if you use the promo code ROADTREKKING at checkout, you will get an additional $75 off. That promo code again is Road Trekking. You can find out about it at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. It's Chris in Chicago. I've got a question about the stoves in the Class B RV that you've got. Whenever I've cooked on a propane stove in an RV, I find that it generates a lot of fumes and odors. I think in the different road treks you've owned, that you had both the propane cooktop and the induction electric cooktop. I'm wondering what you thought of these two and what were the pros and cons of each. Thanks for all that you do. Love the podcast and the website. Keep it up.
I think the induction is probably the one that I like the most.
Really? Okay. I've often said propane because I thought you liked that flame. That
I do like the propane, but it's harder to clean the burners when you're, you know, trying to keep things neat and tidy to clean up in there. And, you know, I do, I like propane, but, you know, when I really think about it, I think it's cleaner, the electric.
Now, we had a little bit of consternation when we first tried to use that induction cooktop. Do you remember that?
Oh, how could I forget? I brought food and didn't have the right pan.
Because you do need, a special induction type pan. It's got to be, say, good for induction, because induction's, you know, common in many houses now. But the cookware or whatever the pans and the pots have to be inductive.
Yeah, here I was proud of myself because I brought food and we were what on the borderline, pulled over in a rest area.
Yeah,
we Kentucky,
were our first
going into
meal.
Tennessee.
Yeah,
we were so proud of ourselves.
You were going to make some warm up some stew or something.
Yeah, and I don't like to use the microwave. I like to.
Microwave. We're not big fans of it. But so anyway, you have to have special pots and pans. Now, Chris asks, and I guess he's right, there's always a little bit of a propane smell when you first turn on a grill, right?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me, but I have allergies. Maybe it doesn't bother me, the smell.
Yeah.
For me, it's the cleanup.
So, okay.
And also, sometimes you only get one burner with the electric.
That's true.
I
get
two burners.
Yeah.
I use two burners a lot.
Because you'll open a sauce, you'll warm up a sauce and a stew or a soup.
I like a side vegetable.
All right. So an inductive one. That's the first time you've ever come
clearly.
That's
the first time I've ever said that.
You kind of said it doesn't make much difference, and now you've come on the side of inductive. So we have people who listen to all of these episodes. So, well, she didn't say that back in episode 14, years ago.
And thinking about it, it's easier to do cleanup.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's much easier.
And I like things clean. I don't like food burned on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get my fingers. It's just easier to clean up.
Just make sure that you have inductive pots and pans and you should be okay. All right. Hope that helps. Chris from Chicago, thanks a lot. Let us know what you get. And listeners, readers, if you disagree with any of this stuff, you can use that leave voicemail message and give us your opinion too. We love to collect and hear from you too. So it's not just us saying these things. All right. Let's do one more question.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. This is Sharon Childress from Newton, New Jersey. I need your help with something. My husband and I are going down to the Pensacola to see the Blue Angels practice in April next spring, and I was wondering if you could possibly recommend a good campground for us to stay at. When we went out west last year, you recommended the Grizzly Campground in West Yellowstone, and it was absolutely the best campground we've ever stayed at. So I was wondering if you could help us out again by recommending something down around Pensacola. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
We certainly can. That's kind of our secondary stomping grounds down there. And the park that you want to go to is Fort Pickens. Fort Pickens, P-I-C-K-E-N-S. It's right on Pensacola Beach, right on the Gulf Islands National Seashore there. I mean, it is right on the water, and it has 140 sites with electric and water hookups, and then it has some tent sites that you could park if you have a Class B as well. It's just a beautiful, beautiful park. But you know, you're right at prime time. You know, April's a great month down there on the Emerald Coast, and you want to get that reservation as soon as you can. So if you can't get in there, there are a couple of other RV parks that we know about on Highway 98. In and around Navarre Beach, N-A-V-A-R-R-E. Just search for Campgrounds Navarre Beach, Florida, and you'll find there's two of them there. And then if you go a little bit further east into Fort Walton Beach, Okaloosa Island, you have RV Resort West, or Destin West RV Resort, Destin West. But you want to go to Fort Pickens. That's a beautiful park.
I was just laughing to myself. I was expecting you to say our friends Kathy and Les Chanteau are the most hospitable people I know. They'd probably let you park in their driveway.
Yeah, sure. And if you really can't go out hollering, I'm sure that the Chanteaus, and they'll probably go with you. They're the ones who introduced us to the Blue Angels. And I think is it Tuesdays and Wednesdays? The Blue Angels are based at the Pensacola Air Naval Station. And they practice a couple of days a week. And they're free. You can just go. They have huge parking lots. There's plenty of room for RVs. And it's absolutely free. You bring your own lawn chairs and you're down on the literal flight line and you watch these guys in the Blue Angels fly right. It is one of the more fun things that we've done. There's a video on our YouTube channel about it. So just search Mike and Jennifer's Blue Angels and you'll find it there. Or Wendland's Blue Angels and you'll find our video of it. Because the Shantos, we went with them. And took that in last spring and had a ball.
Yeah, it was one time we didn't have Bo, so we didn't feel guilty about having him, you know, leaving him or whatever. Have to make arrangements for him.
Yeah, but it's I don't think you can bring your dog to the thing.
No, puppies.
But it's really, if you really, I mean, you see these guys up close, and then they always come along the flight line. I think you can even meet the pilots. They go inside. If you've never been in that Naval Air Station Museum, it is one of the finest museums in the country, bar none, that we've ever seen. We went and spent a half a day at that museum, and you really want to spend a full day. It's that interesting. And here's just a hint: if you are there, I know you're going to go to that Naval Air Station Museum, Sharon. Make sure you kind of hook up one of the little guided tours. They have a bunch of Navy veterans, many of them who flew the very same planes, and some of them were in even World War II. Some of these veterans, and they walk you through and they explain everything so well. So you're going to have a ball. But Fort Pickens, I don't know if we'll still be down there in April. We're going out towards Texas and New Mexico in April, I think. But we will be down there much of January, February, March in that general area. And the Blue Angels, I think, start their practices in April. So you're going to have a ball. She mentioned the last time she asked for a recommendation, we recommended the Grizzly Campground in West Yellowstone. Do you remember that? That was the first year we went to Yellowstone.
I know. It was a delightful experience.
We got there, and of course, we were so excited. We've wanted to go to Yellowstone our whole lives, and there we were. This was 7 years ago now. And the Grizzly Campground is a big, full-service campground, and we had a site that backed right up to the Gatlin National Forest right behind us, so there's lots of deep woods back there. And I got out. It was pitch black. The moon was out. You know, the stars were bright, but it was dark, and I was walking to the restroom facility, and I heard these wolves. I heard wolves howling, and it was so cool. I ran back and told you, and it was just awesome. Well, it turns out right on the other side of the road, there is a wolf rescue place. It's open for the public. You can go in and actually look at the wolves and some grizzlies as well. And that's where the wolves were. But what a great welcome to Yellowstone.
Yeah, you got pretty excited.
And I'd love to do a gathering at that park. I'd like to. We'd have to book it like a year in advance, but I think that would really, really be fun. All right, our questions of the week. We would love to have you be a part of it. All you have to do is use that leave voicemail message on the roadtrekking.com website, our RV Lifestyle channel at roadtrekking.com. And there's a little link on the right. Click that, and you can use the microphone on your computer. Or if you know how, just leave a little audio file and send me that. Email me that at mikeandjen@rvlifestyle.com, and we'll be able to get them that way. This part of the podcast is sponsored by Steinbring Motor Coach, a third-generation family business located in Garfield, Minnesota, in the beautiful Chain of Lakes region, built on quality motorhomes and excellent pricing and service. The Steinbring family, they've been in the motorhome and the transportation industry. They started in the transportation industry in 1917, so almost 102 years now the family's had a business there. And their sales staff at Steinbring, they've been selling RVs for decades. They have that solid experience in the recreational vehicle industry. They've got some great RVs in stock. They sell brand new Newmar Class A motorhomes, as well as new Road Trek and Hymer Class B motorhomes. And they've got a huge selection of used Class Bs, Class As, Class Cs, diesel pushers, gas or toy haulers. You can find them as well at Steinbring's. Steinbring Motor Coach, check them out. Award-winning service and award-winning sales and service, and the whole experience will just make you really delighted that you've checked them out. First, go to their website, Steinbring Motor Coach. You'll find it online. And if you can get up there in the beautiful Chain of Lakes region, they have a gorgeous indoor showroom with lots of room so you can explore those RVs. Steinbring Motor Coach, let them know you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
You're listening to the RV Podcast.
You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention,
and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog.
And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast.
Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
Now, if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you know that our absolute number one piece of advice that we give those who are want to buy an RV for the first time is to try before you buy. And that can be challenging because a lot of them immediately go to an RV dealer. And while many RV dealers do indeed have a couple of RVs that are in their rental fleet, they don't have many. And RVs are in such demand that often those rental RVs are booked up a year or more in advance. Well, just as people started that peer-to-peer Airbnb movement or BRB movement and then the VRBO rentals for vacation things, so now is a company called Outdoorsy involved in peer-to-peer RV rentals. And it's a great opportunity for you to try before you buy, to find the kind of RV you want. You know, oh, you want to buy a Class B, you want to buy and go rent one like that for a weekend or a getaway, a week, and try it out. You get to experience the size, how it fits, what the bathroom is like, how it is sleeping, how you make up the sleeping arrangements. The company is called Outdoorsy. To Outdoorsy, just go to roadtrekking.com/outdoorsy. That's roadtrekking.com/outdoorsy. We've got a great interview, and I want to get to that interview right away. And we'll also have a video version of this that shows you what their website looks like and a couple of other things. So let's get to the interview right now. So one of the problems that people have when we say rent a vehicle first, go out and rent an RV, make sure you're comfortable with it, is finding one. Most people go straight to a dealership, and many dealers around the country do indeed have an RV available, but probably just one or two in their rental fleet. And they're often booked up for months, if not a year in advance. So that presents a real challenge unless you use one of these companies that work kind of like VRBO does for vacation rental homes. You can rent an RV the same way. And joining us right now to help us understand that is somebody from a company called Outdoorsy. His name is Austin Green, and Austin joins us right now. How you doing, Austin?
I'm doing real well, Mike. Happy to be here.
Well, glad to have you with us. So tell us how you guys can help those people who want to try before they buy.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started out in the U.S. and Canada, and we have over 30,000 unique vehicles right now between those two locales. So these are all that, you know, vans, Class A, B, C, RVs, towables, pretty much any vehicle you can imagine that would fit the adventure vehicle mold. We let these owners make money on, you know, renting out their vehicles to people who are interested in trying out an RV or a van before they are, you know, before they actually go and buy one. So we are the platform, we're the marketplace that helps facilitate that process. And we're helping more people get involved in the van life and the RV life and see what it's like to kind of live the, or at least try the kind of American road trip, right?
Now, how does this work? Your website, outdoorsy.com, and we'll put a link in the show notes and in the description here with this video and in this interview on our podcast as well. So I go there and I type in, I want to rent a vehicle, and I type in the location, right? That's a good start. And then what happens?
Yeah, so you can go in and type in a location, or it'll just geolocate to where your IP address is, and it will show you all the rentable vehicles within that area. Again, we have tons of things, anything from RVs to vans to teardrop trailers. Basically, once you're on the platform, you find the vehicle that you like for the price point you like, You can request a booking. The owner will receive a notification immediately. You'll communicate back and forth. We facilitate a lot of that communication as well. And once everything is worked out, you go pick up the keys directly from the owner. There's a trade-off. They'll give you a walkthrough of the vehicle, how everything works, and they'll send you on your way. And it can be anywhere from a nightly trip to a month-long trip. It's really the flexibility is there for, you know, these folks to really do whatever they want.
So you can, it will automatically know where you are based on your IP address as you log on. But for example, I just was thinking about maybe doing a quick trip flying out to Yellowstone before it freezes up. And I jumped in and I said, well, I'd have to fly out there, but I want to rent an RV. And I typed in Jackson, Wyoming, and bam, there were like a dozen of them there that would meet our needs really well. So I'm really impressed with how easy it is to find one. Take me to the part with the owner, however. How do you know that this vehicle is safe? You know, you're dealing one-on-one with somebody, but you're maybe renting it long distance, so you don't have a chance to inspect it. How do you know it's safe?
So that's one of the coolest things about Outdoorsy is we actually provide all of the insurance for these vehicles, and we vet everyone who uploads their vehicle to Outdoorsy. We also make sure that all of the renters have a valid driver's license. The average star rating for our owners and renters is over 4.5 stars. So we definitely vet everyone that's using our platform, and we're making sure that everything is in place so that, you know, users can have a safe journey, but also that owners are not, you know, risking their vehicle when they're renting it out. For the insurance piece, we provide up to $1 million in liability insurance for every approved rental. And then on top of that, we also provide $250,000 in comprehensive and collision as well. So you're safe knowing that Outdoorsy has your back. We have our own claims department as well, so owners can make claims if something is damaged along the trip, and we'll help them throughout that process, making sure that they're taken care of.
So the one-on-one dealing, though, is with the owner of the RV, if I'm a renter. So I call, say it's you, and I say, hey, Austin, I want to rent that Coachman Galleria that you're in right now for a week. Where does it go from there? Take me through a typical rental process.
Yeah, so you'll communicate with the owner via our platform. You know, we can help with the text messaging side. A lot of that goes through our platform. You can directly message on the Outdoorsy platform as well on your computer. As soon as you all come to an agreement on the dates, and we help with that booking process as well. So there's a calendar where you can select the dates. The owner can approve that it's available for those dates. The pricing is there. So users basically put in a deposit, and they go and they meet with the owner, and then there's the key handoff. So they'll walk you again through the vehicle. They'll make sure you're ready to go and that you have all the information you need. A lot of them actually have a YouTube channel as well, and they have instructional videos on how to use their vehicle. We definitely have some pros among our audience that really do a good job of that handoff process, and we really like the personal aspect of that as well, because we want like-minded folks helping each other get involved and used to the industry. So once that's done, users can take the vehicle really wherever they want. Usually the way it works is I think the average rental stays within like a 300-mile proximity, but there's really no limitations. You can take it wherever you want. Once you're done with the rental, you take it back to the owner. Some owners will actually go pick it up if you want to drop it off somewhere, or drop it off to you if you don't want to drive the vehicle itself. And then from there, you know, if there's no issues, then you're done. And you can, you know, go and do another one whenever you're ready.
So my recommendation to people is, try them all. Try a Class B camper van. Try that Galleria you're in there in the Sprinter, or try a Pleasure Way or a Road Trek. And then you've tried three Class Bs, maybe do a weekend in all of them. Try a Class C, see how you like that. And they get a chance to actually try it, to work it through in a campground, to see how the galley works. It's a great way to really understand whether the RV lifestyle is really for them. Now, I'm also curious on the other end of this, Austin Green from Outdoorsy, and that is I'm an owner, and I've got an RV, and it sits in my driveway, you know, half to three quarters of the year. I could be making money with that.
Exactly. And that's actually part of the reason we really started Outdoorsy. Some of our founders who actually lived in an Airstream doing market research before they founded the company, they realized that there are over 13 million RVs in North America that sit unused 350 days out of the year. And it's almost kind of like when you buy a boat. Some people are like, well, there's two great days of buying a boat, the day you sell it and the day you buy it. Well, we wanted to make, you know, people who own these valuable assets, we wanted to offer them a way to make money as opposed to just sitting collecting dust in their garage. So what we did is with Outdoorsy, we're giving these folks the opportunity to make up to $3,200 a month just renting out their vehicle.
Really?
So it's a great, it's a great way to earn a supplemental income. And we've actually had folks among our platform that maybe they're early retirees or they work part-time. They've actually turned Outdoorsy into a full-time job where they started out with one vehicle, were renting it out, realized, you know what, this is something I enjoy. This is something that we can scale. And we actually have folks who have bought additional RVs and rent them out full-time and make a living doing so.
Really? There is that much interest in a rental RV?
There really is. The RV industry, as I'm sure you're well aware, is really booming. There are a lot of people that are ready to get outside and try kind of an alternative travel, lifestyle. And we're excited about that. We are those types of folks as well. And, you know, we want to make the outdoors more accessible.
So back to me being a renter, and I have rented this vehicle that I'm going to take to Yellowstone, and I get up there and all of a sudden it starts to snow. And I turn on the heater and it doesn't work. What do I do then? Who's got my back in that situation?
So we actually offer 24/7 roadside assistance through, I believe it's CoachNet, for all of our rentals as well. That's an opt-in that renters can choose. So if something happens along those lines and, you know, they contact the owner and, you know, the owner can't walk them through how to fix it in that specific moment, we do have the protection with that 24/7 roadside assistance where they'll come out and they'll help you get set up and even tow you if you need.
Wow. That sounds like it's pretty foolproof, and it's a great way to really save a lot of aggravation, make sure you get the right RV, and it sounds like a great way to make some money. So we'll put links to all of this, Austin, on the website or on our websites and on our show notes for this, but the website that you who are looking to rent an RV, or maybe you're looking to rent yours, it's called outdoorsy.com. Austin Green, you've been our guest. Thank you so much for helping us understand this new process.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
All right, so I have links built in so you can learn more about that process, whether you're a prospective renter or you're interested in renting out your RV. Just go to roadtrekking.com/outdoorsy. roadtrekking.com/outdoorsy. I'll put the link in the show notes and you can get to it there. We also have a video version of the interview that we just did, and it shows you what it looks like online when you're searching for an RV or when you're about ready to rent one. So you can check that out and see how that works. And then there's also a full transcript of our interview with Austin Green. Again, to learn more about this and try before you buy, go to roadtrekking.com/outdoorsy. The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com. And that is one site you also need to go to when you are looking at, to buy an RV. They specialize in Class B RVs, and they have hands down the largest inventory of used Class Bs that you will find in North America. And the thing that is so amazing is when you buy a used Class B or a new Class B from Sunshine State RVs, they will deliver it to your driveway free anywhere in the continental U.S. Now, they are a dealer of new RVs from Road Trek Motorhomes, from Coachman Motorhomes, from Chinook Motorhomes. They've got some Hymers in stock as well, brand new Class Bs. But where they have made their name is in having such a huge inventory of used Class Bs. Used Class Bs are very hard to come by. They're in strong demand. And at Sunshine State RVs, you will find them from all the popular brands like Road Trek, Pleasureway, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and more. You will not find a wider selection anywhere. Here's why you can trust Sunshine State RVs. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way that it should. They go over the interior just as entirely as the outside, and every component turned on, tested to make sure it works. All of their used RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. You check them out. Tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast, sunshinestatervs.com.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
All right, time to check in with our friend from Verizon Wireless, Andy Choi. How you doing, Andy?
Hi, Mike. When you think about all the beautiful scenes you find along those RV adventures, there is no question capturing them is a top priority. And it's why this week's tech tip is all about introducing you to the photographic powers of the Google Pixel 3. And Verizon is your home for this smartphone. The Pixel 3's camera will help make you a better photographer, even if you don't try, thanks to new AI functionality that can select the best shot from your motion photos. Your Pixel 3 can even recommend a photo where everyone has their eyes open and are facing the camera. A new Super Res Zoom feature uses computational photography to reduce the amount of noise and artifacts in your photos when you zoom into a shot. If you like your portraits with a more artistic flair, you can also change the blurriness of the background in your photos before or after you click the button. In addition, the new Pixel Stand is a wireless charger that turns your Pixel into a smart visual and audio experience that can be controlled by simple on-screen actions or by using your voice. You can even transform your phone into a photo frame and control some of your smart home devices as well. By the way, right now, if you buy one Google Pixel 3, you can get a second Pixel 3 on Verizon. So before that next photo op on the road, make sure you've got a smartphone camera that can maximize the beauty of your great adventures. With this week's technology tip, I'm Andy Choi with Verizon.
All right. Verizon is the official on-the-road sponsor of the RV podcast, giving us 4G LTE connectivity pretty much anywhere we go in the country. When we need to rely on getting our stories and our videos out, Verizon makes it possible thanks to their great 4G LTE network. Ranked highest in leading network studies, multiple tests year after year that measure quality performance and user satisfaction. Can your network say the same thing? If not, you're stuck in the wrong network and you need to head over to Verizon and get unstuck.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
You know, one of the joys about traveling and being on the road, and especially being off the beaten path, is the stories that you run into in little towns and little villages and little stops all across North America. That's what the Burkitts, Tom and Patty, are so good at uncovering for us as they report week after week here in the podcast. Sometimes they find real history, like this story about chips and salsa.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. When Katie Griggs was a teenager, she told her uncle she'd like to open a restaurant. He owned a hotel and trading post complex in the town of Mesilla, New Mexico. Being fond of her, he said she could use a corner of the hotel courtyard. Katie borrowed four tables and recruited her mom to cook family favorites in the small kitchen. Everyone wanted to try Katie's restaurant, and on the first day, she sold out of food almost immediately. Swearing that no one would ever leave her place hungry, she laid in a big stock of tortillas and red chili sauce, and from the second day on, put a basket of tortillas and a bowl of chili on each table. Culinary legend says this was the beginning of the practice of Mexican food restaurants serving complimentary chips and salsa.
The Mesilla Valley is a fertile oasis in the arid Southwest. Its soil has been enriched by centuries of flooding of the Rio Grande River. It's home to numerous bosques, strip oases that follow a river drainage. Although the region has been settled in some way since the mid-1600s, the town itself dates to 1848. That's the year the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo ended the Mexican-American War, and a group of citizens unhappy with the outcome moved just south of the newly established border into the Mesilla Valley.
Over the next decade, Apache raids became such a problem that the U.S. government established a fort in the area and claimed the valley as U.S. territory. Mexico disputed this claim, eventually mostly to provide a secure route for a southern transcontinental rail route. The U.S. purchased the valley from Mexico in an agreement called the Gadsden Purchase. James Gadsden was the U.S. minister to Mexico, appointed by President Franklin Pierce. The $10 million purchase price bought almost 30,000 square miles at a cost of about 52 cents an acre.
In 1881, Mesilla was the biggest city around, bustling with cantinas and hotels at the crossroad of the Butterfield stage line and the legendary Camino Real. Billy the Kid, Pat Garrett, and Pancho Villa were regular visitors. It was a hub of the quintessential Wild West. When the Santa Fe Railroad began to build through the region, it was assumed that it would run through Mesilla. Local landowners, angling for big payments from the railroad, were thunderstruck when ranchers in nearby Las Cruces offered the railroad free land and stole the line away. Mesilla has not grown since.
Brothers Sam and Roy Bean, yes, that Roy Bean, operated a freight line here when it was still part of Mexico. After the Civil War, the Corn Exchange Hotel was considered one of the best in the region. Katie opened her restaurant in the corner of the hotel compound in 1939. Today, La Posta de Mesilla restaurant is a sprawling complex full of tropical plants and birds that plays host to national and international dignitaries. It feels like the mother of all Mexican restaurants. Drive the Butterfield stage route west from Arkansas or Missouri and look for us out here off the beaten path.
Thanks, Burkitts.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendlin. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, that's it for this episode of the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard and be a part, you can record a voicemail message by clicking the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com RV Lifestyle blog. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or your favorite podcast app. New episodes released every Wednesday morning. And we invite you to join our mailing list. We will give you special discounts on RV services and products, special perks, and firsthand information on stuff about the RV lifestyle that you'll hear from us first before you'll hear it anywhere else. But you got to be a part of the community. It's absolutely free to join. You get a special newsletter every Monday morning with lots of insider info. And again, you can subscribe to that. Look on the right-hand side of the roadtrekking.com RV lifestyle blog. Hey, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendlin. We'll see you out there. Have a happy trail journey, everybody. Bye-bye.